Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Beis.
I just wanted to recap in order to get back into it with Perek Yud Beis. We mentioned a few. Right now, this is going to be Shmuel's last address to the people, and he's going to again rebuke them for asking for a king. And it seems like we've been talking about it for a few prokhm already, about how it was a mistake to ask for a king. But what we're going to see today is actually different than what we discussed before. Back in Perek Ches, when Klal Yisrael first asked for a king, Shmuel, it was bad in Shmuel's eyes, he was upset about it. And Hashem said to Shmuel, no, they're not despising you. It's not that you aren't a good leader, it's despising me. That till now, when Klal Yisrael deserved a special favor from Hashem, they were given a shofet to save them from their difficulties. Klal Yisrael didn't want to have to rely on that type of hanhoga, that they never know who the next leader is, who their leader is, until there's a problem, and then they do tshuva, and then they're given a shofet. They wanted to have a more stable leadership as a monarchy. So Hashem said, they're not despising you, they're despising me. Just warn them that if they want a king, warn them what having a king entails. And then there was a long discussion of all the things what a king does. Whether he is entitled or he's not entitled is a machlokes. But the facts are, a king is going to end up taking your children to work for him, and he's going to take over the fields, and he's going to take your best vineyards, and he's going to end up using his authority, whether he's right for doing it or not. It's going to end up difficult on the people to put up with a king. The people still wanted a king. Shaul was selected. That was in the prokhim afterwards, how Shaul met Shmuel and Shmuel made him the king. Then Shmuel gathered together the people, and he and they had a goyrol, had a lottery. This is in Perek Yud, and the Urim V'Tumim confirmed that Shaul is indeed supposed to be the king over Klal Yisrael. And still, and they could see that he was head and shoulders above the crowd, Mishich V'Mala, Gavoyim Mikol Ha'om, and even so there were B'nai Belial, there were some wicked people who said, ah, Shaul, my Yoshienu Zeh, he can't save us, and they didn't want him as a king. When Nachash HaAmoni, the king, enemy king, came and he wanted to insist that the Yidden should have to put out their right eye as a sign of humiliation and subservience to him, at that point Shaul stepped into his role and he fought for Klal Yisrael and they won the war, and now Klal Yisrael, in fact, they were going to kill those people who had protested about Shaul because they saw that Shaul really deserved to be the king. At the end of Perek Yud Aleph, Shmuel said to the people, let's go back to Gilgal and we'll renew the Malchus. Now, initially, when he had made them the king, with the Goyrol and with the Urim V'Tumim, there was also a very short, two psukim in Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Tes, where Shmuel basically told the people it was wrong to ask for a king. But he didn't belabor the point. The Mefarshim say he just wanted to point out that even though previously they had requested a king, they shouldn't think that in the interim Shmuel changed his mind or HaKadosh Baruch Hu was now happy with it. So he just briefly mentioned, you were wrong for asking for a king, but you'll get a king anyways. Now, at the end, everyone has accepted Shaul. They saw that he was a capable leader and that Hashem was with him. Now that everybody was accepting Shaul, this was going to be the final address to the people, telling them why they were wrong, and they should know they have the king, even though it is not the ideal thing for them, but if they wanted the king, here's the king, and it's now their job to make the most of it. Perek Yud Beis. Vayomer Shmuel Kol Yisrael. Shmuel said to all of Klal Yisrael, Hinei shamati b'kolchem, I listened to your voice, l'chol asher amartim li, to everything that you told me. and I appointed over you a king. Now what Shmuel is going to discuss is, initially when they asked for a king, Shmuel felt like they were rejecting him. He had given his all to the people, and they weren't happy with the shofet. They didn't want judges. They wanted a different system of government. Usually to do such a dramatic move, to totally change the mode of leadership, it shows a shortcoming of the previous leader. I mean, well, why are we doing such a drastic change? Shmuel took it as a rejection of himself. And Hashem said, no, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. They're rejecting Hashem. In this perek, Shmuel is going to exactly explain what was wrong in asking for a king, which he hasn't discussed yet. What is wrong with asking for a king? So Shmuel says, first of all, I granted your request. Don't think that whatever I'm saying you now is an excuse. I don't want to do it, so I'm telling you why I don't want to do it. I didn't want to do it, but I gave you your king. I listened to you, v'amlich aleichem melech, and I gave you a king. And the Malbim points out that the truth is, Shmuel was judging the people. And if the people wanted a king or somebody to fight their wars, they could have been a king and Shmuel would have retained his position as a leader. He'll be in the religious department and the king will fight the wars. What Shmuel was saying was, even though he totally did his job properly, and he writes, min hadin, you can't remove a shofet until you see something wrong with him. As long as he's doing a good job, you can't remove him. Shmuel could have insisted he's the leader and he'll be the leader till the end. And if you want a king to fight the wars, we'll get a king. But what he was saying was, I totally listened, l'chol asher amartem li, everything that you said to me, and basically Shmuel is resigning. In other words, I have listened to everything that you wanted, and I am no longer going to be the leader. I gave you a king, and now the king is going to be the sole leader of Klal Yisrael. V'ata, but now, hinei ha-melech mishalech lifneichem, your king is going before you. V'ani zokanti v'osafti, I'm old and I'm already reached zikna and seva. Their complaint in Perek Ches was they had said the words, hinei ato zakanta, you're old. Shmuel says, I know I'm old. Not only am I a zokain, I'm even a seva. I've reached that point. V'ani zokanti v'osafti, uvonai hinam idchem, and my sons are with you. And there are many pshatim, what he means to tell them, my sons are with you. Could be he's telling them that if you had any complaints against his sons, because Klal Yisrael's main complaint was, Shmuel is old and his sons are not like him. His sons are not as good. It seems that they went after profit. They had an eye on how much money was coming in, which Chazal say wasn't for their personal benefit. But when you have a court system in a single place, everyone comes to the court system, and then there are secretaries, and there are couriers from Beis Din who summon people to the court, and there's the whole community is built up around the court system, and therefore the whole economy, the whole local economy benefits. By Shmuel, he didn't have that, because he was always traveling around. He was a lone, traveler, and he brought everything with him, and he just traveled around, and it may have been better for the nation as a whole, but for himself personally and those who helped Shmuel, they didn't gain from it. It was difficult. They were traveling all around, and his sons felt it would be a better system to have others coming to court, and that would bring in money. Again, not necessarily for themselves, but it wasn't as Shmuel did it. And it was a defect in the sons. So now he told him, Uvana hine idchem. Hinam inchem, my sons are with you. If you have any complaint against my sons, maybe you think that they did something even worse. They're with you, I'm not the leader, you don't have to be afraid of me. My sons are with you, you can punish them, you can judge them, they're yours. V'ani hisalachti lifneichem, but I went before you, minu urai, from my youth ad hayom hazeh till today. And the Malbim points out, it's such a poignant statement here. When you read these psukim, like there's so many people who give their life for Klal Yisrael, and there's always a tinge of sadness when they get old and they're no longer able to carry on, and the people realize they can't be the leader anymore. And this is basically what Shmuel is saying. Vanizuk, I'm an old man, and I got nothing out of this position. And I was Vanizuk Kanti Vasafti, I'm old, Uvana Hinam Itchem, my sons are with you. Don't think that my sons are taking over. I leave there's no Yerusha for the sons in terms of this position. My sons are just common people. And I devoted myself, Anihi Salachti Lifnechem, I went before you from Minurai, from my youngest youth. I gave his whole life for Klal Yisrael, especially keeping in mind that he got no profit, which we'll see in a moment. Shmuel got nothing from the people. He gave everything he had for them, and even his sons didn't take over his position. Uvona hineom itchem, my sons are with you. It could mean, we discussed before, whatever the complaints were on Shmuel's sons, it seems that the sons did tshuva. In fact, one son, Yoel, Chazal say was the Navi Yoel, that's one of the Treyosa, one of the 12 Nevi'im, the Treyosa was Yoel. So whatever complaint there might have been on with his sons, they're with you and they're willing to help you, and right now, the people realize that the sons are with them, the sons are not against the people, they're helping the people. In fact, it implies that the sons are with you, they also want a king. In other words, my sons are with you for whatever, whether you want to judge them, they're there to help you, they're you recognize that they're good now. The complaint might be, my sons are with you, they're like one of you, they're not as great as me. That Shmuel did so much for the people, his sons are not like him, his sons are like the average people. But whatever the point was, and our Shmuel himself gave everything, and the fact that they now wanted a king, Shmuel is going to point out is wrong. In other words, he did everything for a shofei. There's no reason there should be that rejection. Hineni, here I am. Anubi, speak up against me. Speak to Neged Hashem in front of Hashem, V'neged Meshicho, and before his anointed, before Shaul, who was anointed as the king. Shaul was here. Now, pointing out that Shaul's here, you don't have to be afraid of what you're saying. You know, the king is a fait accompli. It's a fact. The king is here, and you don't have to be afraid of what you're saying. And Hashem should be the judge. As shor mi lokachti, whose ox did I ever take? Anytime did I ever take somebody's animal to use it for my personal work? V'chamor mi lokachti, and whose donkey did I take? Now, a donkey is usually taken when you're traveling. In other words, an ox you might take to plow your field. A donkey is for traveling from one place to another. And Shmuel was traveling his whole life judging the people. So it'd be understandable if he's traveling from one city for another on shul business, on community business, it's understandable he should use the community's chamor. But even so, I never even took your donkey traveling from one place to another. Besmi oshakti. Who did I oppress? But who did I steal from? The word oshek is, like we just had lo sashok sochir, you're not allowed to. Asmi oshakti means if you owe somebody money. Not that you took it wrongfully, but if you have a worker and you don't pay him. Or if you damage somebody and you owe him money and you refuse to give it up. Or you found an aveda and then you decide now you're not going to give it back. You have somebody else's money, which you didn't take with an aveira, you didn't steal it, you weren't a thief, you have the money and you just don't give it up. That's less of a complaint. But Vesmi Oshakti, is there anybody who can say I have their money and I held on to it when I wasn't supposed to? Esmi Ratzosi, and the word Ratzosi can either mean who did I like crush in arts, who did I physically hurt, which seems to be worse than the previous arguments. On the other hand, if you take somebody's item and then you give it back, or if you owe him money and you give it back, you know, Bezdin doesn't do more than that. In other words, you owed him money and finally we got him to pay up. In this case, if somebody was Ratzosi, if somebody hurt another, he has to pay. In other words, who did I owe money and even if I would have paid him, or if I hurt somebody and I paid him, but is there anybody that I hurt? Esmi Ratzosi. And Chazal learn out Rashi mentions that part, that pshat, that ratzosi is who did I crush, who did I steal from, even if I would have paid. But did such an incident ever happen? Chazal also have a pshat, esmi ratzosi, from the word ratzon. Is there anybody that I convinced that they should willingly give me money? In other words, without taking anything wrongfully, is there anybody that I even tried to convince or tried to find favor by that they should give me money? That also, can anybody point to that? Umiyad mi lokachti chofer. From who did I ever take some type of bribe? Va'ali meinai bo, and I should look away. Meaning, let's say a person did a certain aveira, and he's chayev malchus. Bezdin is supposed to give him lashes. He's supposed to get a punishment. It could be, you might think, Shmuel might have taken a bribe from somebody not to get the punishment. And that doesn't affect anyone else. In other words, that's Bein Odom L'Mokum. A guy did a certain aveira, and he deserves a certain punishment. And maybe he took a payment that the person wouldn't get his punishment. Even though nobody else would be aware of it necessarily, it didn't hurt anybody else. But if anybody ever gave me a payment for even something like that, v'ashiv lachem, I will return it. If anybody can point to any one of these monetary wrongdoing, I will reimburse and I will give the money back. Vayomru, and the people said, lo ashaktanu, you didn't take from us what you shouldn't have. Or you didn't hold on to money that you had that you should not have held on to. Below ratzosanu, and you didn't crush us, or you didn't even ask and get ratzon that we should give you money. Below lakachtu miyad ish me'uma, and you didn't take from a person anything. And this is a tremendous, tremendous lesson, these psukim. First of all, it's interesting. Shmuel wants to sum up his life. What does he focus on? The fact that he was so clean in monetary issues. This is the one thing that he's going to say. In terms of me being a leader, he stresses the fact that he was erelich, he was 100% above board when it came to money. As a Talmud of Rav Pam, I'd be remiss in mentioning, every year Rav Pam used to give a shmooze. In Parshas Pikudei, when it talked about Moshe Rabbeinu building the Mishkan, and there was a certain sum of money he wasn't aware of that had been used in making the hooks, Rav Pam used to speak about being honest in Erelach and above board in money matters. I just wanted to quote a few lines. He brings down the Chassam Sofer in the Tshuvas and Simen Nuntes. And the Chassam Sofer says his whole life he was mitzdayer about the pasuk v'yisem nekiyem me'Hashem u'mi'Yisrael. There's a pasuk, you got to be clean from Hashem and from the Jewish people. And the Chassam Sofer says his whole life he was bothered with that pasuk. Because yoser efshari lotzis yidei shamayim, harbe yoser mi lotzis yidei habrios. It's easier to be lotzis yidei shamayim, that Hashem should be happy with you, it's easier than to have people happier with you. Va'on sho yoser kosher ma'od ma'od, and it's much, much worse. And he elaborates on the fact that if somebody is not rotzei sidei habrios, if people suspect him of being, Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid people would suspect him. What happened to the money for the Mishkan? This was a major fundraising campaign and there's missing funds. So the Chassam Sofer says, Lotzis Yidei Habrios is much, much harder. And he writes, Veineni Kedai Lahazkir Avoseinu HaKedoshim. I'm not worthy to even talk about our earlier Avoseinu HaKedoshim. But Mikom HaKoyim Torahi, it's Torah and I have to say it. V'choychechani, and I think to say, the Bnei God and Bnei Ruvain, when Moshe Rabbeinu suspected that they didn't want to go over with the Jewish people, and they wanted to stay in Eber HaYarden, Moshe Rabbeinu suspected that they didn't want to go over and fight, and that's why they asked for the land on the east bank. The reason why they wanted to stay in Eber HaYarden is because they didn't want to go and fight. And they pointed out to Moshe Rabbeinu, certainly we're going to go and we'll lead the, we'll be the front troops. And they did stay. But the Chassam Sofer says, it could be, even though they did what they had to, to cleanse themselves from any suspicion, could be they weren't totally the Yisem Nekiyim from Klal Yisrael, Olafichach Galut Tchila. Who knows? Maybe that is why Bnei God of Bnei Ruvain went into exile before the rest of Klal Yisrael. But the point being, it's so hard for a person that everyone has their own opinions and everyone has their own thoughts, and there's always somebody who thinks you're doing wrong. For somebody to be Lotzis Yidea Brios, that people say, no, you're 100% right, and you haven't taken why you weren't supposed to, it's almost impossible. But that's what we have to strive for. And that's what you see Shmuel saying. And everyone said, Lo Ashaktanu V'lo Ratzosanu Vayomer Aleim in Pasuk Hey. Vayomer Aleim. By the way, on the Pasuk Umiyad Mi Lokachti Kofer, from who did I take a bribe? Some of Forshim say, you put a comma over there, that's like a Zokif Katan, there's a stop. Va'alim Einai Bo is if anybody has what to say, don't be afraid, I'll look the other way. Right now, anyone who wants can say what they want, and I'm not looking. So in other words, nobody should hesitate to say, but again, everyone agreed that Shmuel was perfect. Vayomra Aleim, so Shmuel said to the people, Eid Hashem Bochem, Hashem is a witness against you. Ve'eid Mishicho Hayom Hazeh, and Shol, his anointed, the king, is also witness. Kilo Mitzosem B'yodi Me'uma, you haven't found in my hand anything. I'm totally clean. Why did he have to say, Eid Hashem, Hashem is the witness? And the Malbim points out, because as much as people know, there's always a chance that the guy was pocketing something without people knowing. As much as people know and as much as people think, there's still a chance that the person is not totally perfect. But Eid Hashem Bochem, Shmuel said, I can call Hashem as a witness, not to something that happened yesterday or a week ago, for a whole lifetime. Kilo Mitzosen B'yodi Me'uma, you haven't found anything by me. Vayomru Eid, and the people said, we accept that, he's a witness. It's written Vayomer, in the singular, and he said, this is a Korean exiv, it's read Vayomru that the people said as a group, but Vayomer, it's in the singular because it seems to be a united response. Everyone, as an individual, felt that way. Rashi brings down the Chazal, that a bas koil came out from Shemayim. A voice came out that Shmuel said Hashem should be the witness. A voice came out, Vayomer Eid, and he said, it's like a voice from Hashem. I'm a witness. That's everything is true. So Shmuel, that's all Shmuel's going to say on his defense or on his part. You're wondering why I didn't want you to have a king? This is the way I feel. Such a good leader. I did so much for you, and you agree that I'm so perfect. Why are you looking for another mode of government? Now Shmuel is going to speak in greater length about why Hashem would view this as being a rejection and despising Hashem. Why you from Hashem's vantage point, asking for a king was wrong. Vayomer Shmuel El Ha'am. Shmuel said to the people, Hashem asher osa es Moshe v'Aaron, Hashem who made Moshe and Aaron, v'asher helos avoseichem mi'eretz Mitzrayim, and who brought up your forefathers, brought them up out of the land of Mitzrayim. And the next pasuk seems to switch on something else. And now I'd like you to stand, and we're going to judge you. This like sort of pasuk leaves you hanging. Some say it's connected that when Shmuel said, Eid Hashem Bochem, Hashem is the witness. It's as if he was saying, Hashem is the witness, the same Hashem who made Moshe and Aaron and brought her up from Mitzrayim, that's the witness. or when the or the Malbim I think says when it says Vayomru Aid, that the voice came out Vayomru, like a baskel came on and said Aid. Shmuel identified that sound that you heard. That was from Hashem. Asher Osas Moshe Besaron. The point being that that Hashem was ratifying what I said, that you haven't found anything by me. It's Vayomer Aid. That's from Hashem who made Moshe and Aaron. Also being that the greatest leaders of Klal Yisrael, Moshe and Aaron, and those are the ones who brought Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim and led us through the Midbar. It wasn't them. When Klal Yisrael needed a leader, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a leader. Hashem Asher Osas Moshe v'Aaron. Hashem is the one who made Moshe and Aaron. And when you need a shofet, Hashem will make the shofet. There's no need to see a royal lineage and to see one king after another. Hashem gives you the leader when you need it. And also Hashem made Moshe and Aaron. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going to be. We have 100% free will to decide what we're going to do. Person has Bechira. Yet Hashem knows what's going to be. Now that's something that's beyond human comprehension. How Hashem knows exactly what you're going to do without any doubt, and yet you have free will, you can do whatever you want. But Lemaisa, Hashem knew that Moshe and Aaron were going to be the leaders, and they were certainly given the ability, whatever is necessary, the natural talents and abilities and potential, which of course they with their tzidkis developed, and they became who they are with their own efforts, but they were given a certain natural ability. Hashem made Moshe and Aaron and gave them the ability that they could be the leaders that they would be. And Hashem brought you up from Mitzrayim. Va'ata now, Hisyatzu, stand up, v'yishofta itchem lifnei Hashem. And I'm like going to have a court case with you. I'm going to judge with you in front of Hashem. Hashem is the judge. I'm going to speak up on one side, and if you have anything to argue, you'll have your chance. Eis kol tzidkos Hashem. Right now I would like to speak up on Hashem's behalf, kaviyachol. I would like to say how your request for a king, how Hashem would view it. Eis kol tzidkos Hashem. Let me mention all of the tzidkos Hashem, all the righteousness of Hashem. Asher osa itchem that he did with you, ves avoseichem, and with your fathers. And the word tzedakah implies something that you're not obligated to do, something you don't need to do. It's tzedakah, it's charity, it's something that's given to you even if you don't deserve it. And the way Hashem dealt with Klal Yisrael is even when they don't deserve it, Hashem takes care of them. Kashibor Yaakov Mitzrayim. When Yaakov came to Mitzrayim, Vayizaku avoseichem el Hashem, your fathers cried out to Hashem, Vayishlach Hashem es Moshe ves Aaron, and Hashem sent Moshe and Aaron, Vayotziu es avoseichem mi Mitzrayim, and they took out your fathers from Mitzrayim, Vayoshivum b'makom hazeh, and they had Klal Yisrael settled in this place. Now, actually, Moshe and Aaron never came to Eretz Yisrael, as we all know, but they led Klal Yisrael, and they prepared them, and they, as the leaders, they enabled Klal Yisrael to come into Eretz Yisrael with Yoshua. So they're the ones credited with bringing Klal Yisrael. So we were in Mitzrayim, we needed help, they cried out to Hashem and they were answered. Vayishkechu es Hashem Elokeihem. But they forgot Hashem. As we're fast forwarding in history, and as we just, that was one pasuk. From Yitzias Mitzrayim, now we're in Eretz Yisrael. And Shmuel is going to mention different kings and different problems that Klal Yisrael had. Now there's a whole choice, there's a whole selection. If you go through Sefer Shoftim, constantly there was one enemy and then there was a Shofet who saved them. But he chooses three. Klal Yisrael forgot Hashem. Vayimkor osam, and Hashem sold them, he gave them over. Biyad Sisra sar tzvo chotzer. He gave them over to Sisra, who is the general of Chatzar. Uviyad Plishtim, and he gave him over to the Plishtim. Uviyad Melech Moav, in the hands of the king of Moav. Vayilocham Ubam, and the Goyim fought against Klal Yisrael. By the way, the Plishtim, it doesn't mention a leader. I guess the Palestinians were always a bunch of tribes, and they didn't have a king or a general or a united leader. He gave them over to the Plishtim. Now, from the three that he mentioned, first of all, he mentioned Sisera. Sisera, it seems, was the most severe oppression that Klal Yisrael had up to this point. We see some of it in the Shira of Devorah, in the Song of Devorah. She says, Chodlu Perazon Bi Yisrael. People stopped living in open areas. Chodelu totally stopped. People had to stay in their like walled city. They were afraid to be out in the open. And then it mentions Holchei Nesivos, those who travel, Yelchu Orachos Akalkalos, they had to go by crooked paths. They couldn't just take any road, because there were goyim around who would attack them on the roads. It was a danger. So whenever you read these psukim, I always think of the situation in Eretz Yisrael. But they couldn't travel on whichever road. There was a danger. They were afraid to be unprotected. Imagine that, a guy's in a settlement without an iron fence around it, without a barrier. They were afraid to live out in the open. All because of Sisera. He had an iron hand on the whole country with his 900 chariots, and he had a mic. Whenever you read these psukim, I always think of the situation in Eretz Yisrael. But they couldn't travel on whichever road. There was a danger. They were afraid to be unprotected. Imagine that, a guy's in a settlement without an iron fence around it, without a barrier. They were afraid to live out in the open. All because of Sisera. He had an iron hand on the whole country with his 900 chariots, and he had a mighty army, and he had a control over Klal Yisrael, and the people suffered terribly. Uviyat Plishtim, the Plishtim were not as bad as Sisera. But they lived on the coast in Eretz Yisrael. They took over different areas of the country. And Klal Yisrael suffered over quite a period with them. From the time they were in, Shimshon was with the Plishtim. And then with Shmuel we had, with Mishkan Shiloh, was destroyed by the Plishtim. So the Plishtim were a long-running problem for Klal Yisrael. Uviyad Melech Moav, the king of Moab was probably the least significant. He had taken, and Shoftim Perek Gimel, it mentions that the king of Moab took over the city of Yericho. But whether the problem was a major problem, whether the problem was a minor problem, first of all, it stemmed from Vayishkechu Es Hashem Elokeihem. They forgot Hashem. Which seems to imply that the Avera was, in other words, it's not so great. For Klal Yisrael on that Madriga, it was. But it wasn't that the people were willfully, chas v'shalom, going against Hashem. They just didn't live their life with a total cognizance that everything that happens is from Hashem, and they shouldn't make any efforts for success by chas v'shalom, by using avodah zarah or anything like that. They should know that Hashem takes care of them and put their trust in Hashem. Forgetting Hashem, forgetting, is what led to all these problems, major and minor. And they fought against Klal Yisrael. But you see, when people forget Hashem, it leads to problems. And we're getting to asking for a king and not wanting to rely on Hashem to give you the shofet when the need arises is forgetting. He's letting the people know. You see what happens when they forget. Vayizaku el Hashem. They cried out to Hashem, Vayomru Chatanu. Again, it's a Korean Ksiv. We read it, Vayomru, they said. It's written, Vayomer, because the people, as an individual, could be that they unitedly, they all together said that they sinned, but not everyone's tshuva's at the same level. Some people had a better tshuva, some not as good. The people united said that they sinned. But there's a Korean exceed whether you can look at it on one hand as the community doing, on the other hand the individual saying that he sinned. Ki ozavnu es Hashem. They didn't even look at it like they forgot Hashem. But they said they abandoned Hashem. In other words, they were aware of Hashem, but they made certain efforts and ishtadlus, and they did certain things that they shouldn't have. It's like they left the service of Hashem. They abandoned Hashem. Vanavadis habolim vesho ashtoros. And they served the Ba'olim and the Ashtaros, different Avodah Zorahs. Va'ata now Hatzilenu Miyad Oyvenu. save us now from our enemies, v'navdeko, we will serve you. Now normally you should say, okay, now we'll serve Hashem and you should save us. But obviously the people felt they were stuck in such a rut, they were in such a situation, you have to save us first. The people were so desperate and they were suffering from the goyim, they felt they needed the chizuk, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would save them, in other words, first save us. Hatzilenu mi'ad oyveinu, save us from our enemies, v'navdeko, and then we'll be able to serve you. But we need the chizuk, we need the ability, the help, to be able to serve you. Vayishlach Hashem, so Hashem sent es Yerubal v'es Bidon. He sent Gidon, and he sent Shimshon. They're referred to by this name. Gidon was a story brought down, they're both mentioned in Sefer Shoftim. Gidon came from a house where his father and they had the Avodah Zorah of Baal. And Gidon, a Malach, appeared to him, and Gidon destroyed the Avodah Zorah, destroyed the Baal. And the people wanted to kill Gidon for doing it, and his father defended him, and he was called Yeru Baal, like Yorev, he fights with the Baal. Because the response was, if you're upset that he destroyed Baal, let Baal fight his own battles. You don't have to stick up for Baal. If he destroyed Avodah Zarah, let Avodah Zarah protest. So Gidon was given that name. Yerubal. V'es Bidon is referring to Shimshon. Shimshon, Don's claim to fame, I guess, at least a major part of Don's greatness, was the fact that they produced a shofet Shimshon. As Rashi mentions in Parshas Vayechi, Don Yodin Amo Kachad Shivtei Yisrael, that Don would judge Klal Yisrael, and as Rashi brings down, it's referring to Shimshon, those psukim. So Hashem sent Bidon, the one who came from Shevet Don. Ves Yiftach and Yiftach, Ves Shmuel and Shmuel. And once again, there's a whole list of Shoftim. There were many others he could have mentioned, people like Devorah. And there were other shoftim. There was Boaz, who was called Ivtson. There were many other great shoftim. But he only mentions these four. Of course, he's Shmuel. He mentions the three, and he mentions the one that the people are most acquainted with, himself. Hashem sent you a leader. The order could be, as mentioned, Yerubal was the greatest of the four that he mentioned. Yerubal was continuously sent a malach with one message, another message. He was given nevuah, and he was shown miracles. There were miracles that were done for him, both in fighting the goyim, and there was with the dew. He asked for a sign, min hashamayim, that he would be the leader. There were miracles that were done for Gidon. Shimshon, on the other hand, we know it wasn't as great. It wasn't like he had Nevuah is from Hashem, but he was very close with Hashem, and there were miracles done for him. He was very thirsty, and he was going to die from thirst, and all of a sudden, miraculously, a spring came out for him. And the fact that whenever he defeated the Plishtim, it says, a Ruach Hashem came over Shimshon, and he found a tremendous strength to do whatever battles he had to do. So there were miracles done for Shimshon, even if he wasn't as great as Gidon. The next one, Yiftach, was less. Yiftach really himself was probably the least choshev in Yichus from all the shoftim. It discusses that the brothers chased him away from the home and they didn't want him. And then when the goyim gave problems, they were desperate for a leader, so they called on Yiftach. And there was like nobody else. They figured, and it mentions Yiftach had anoshim reikim. There were a bunch of, he had a gang with him. He had a bunch of People hung out with him, and they chose him to be the leader. But Lemaisa, he led Klal Yisrael, and he won their wars. And there was a lesson there that when Klal Yisrael were on the level, even if they didn't have the greatest leader, like anybody can judge them because they were so good. But you see, whether it was a great leader or it was a lesser leader, and he mentions himself last, could be as Anivus, just as humility, he mentions himself after mentioning the whole going from great to the less, he mentions himself. Or it could be he's mentioned himself last because he's the one that they know most recently, because they know him now, so he mentions himself last. So Hashem sent you all of these leaders. Vayatzil Eschem, and He saved you, meaning it actually isn't the leader, it's Hashem behind the scenes. Vayatzil Eschem Yaroivechem, and He saved you from your enemies, Misavah, from all around, Vateshvu Betach, and you live securely. In other words, when you needed a leader, Hashem sent you a leader. And out of all of these leaders, nobody did you ask to be king. You didn't ask that Gidon should be the king. Even though we mentioned, Gidon was, the Malach came to Gidon and told Gidon, you will be the leader. But the people didn't say Gidon should be a king. Shimshon, again, well, the people didn't choose him. Shimshon on his own saw Klal Yisrael was suffering. And you don't find that Hashem, Shimshon himself was told before he was born, his mother was told that he would be a Nazir and he would save the people. But it wasn't a Malach who came to him at this point and said, okay, now's the point, you should be the leader of Klal Yisrael. It was known from before he was born he would begin the rescuing of Klal Yisrael. But when Shimshon was around, the people didn't ask that he should be the king. And Yiftach is, again, the people had asked for him to be the leader. You know, they didn't have it, they were sort of desperate, but they asked for him to be a leader, but they didn't make him the king. And Shmuel, they also didn't ask to be a king. All of a sudden they want Shmuel to find them. I mean, Shmuel was already a Zaken, could be that's why they didn't ask for him to be the king. But all these times when he was younger, people didn't ask for a king until now. All these great leaders are gone, and now all of a sudden the people are asking for a king. And Hashem was the one who used these leaders to save the people. They didn't need a king. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved them. Vatiru, and you saw, Ki Nochash Melech B'nei Amon Bo Aleichem, that Nochash, the king of Amon, is coming against you. Vatomerli, and you said to me, Loi, no, we don't want things the way they are. And we heard what you warned us, all the dangers of a king. We don't care about that. Ki melech imloch aleinu, we must have a king. Now, what the Mefarshim discuss is, looking through the Psukim, they actually asked for a king before Nachash came. They asked for a king, and Shaul was the one who was chosen. Then Nachash came, and Shaul arose and defeated him and saved the Jewish people. Nachash came after they asked for a king. But it could be, some of Horsham say they realized that Nachash was on the rise. They saw there's a enemy that's getting stronger and stronger and there's going to be problems. And since they saw that Nachash was Bo Aleichem, he's going to be coming against them, they asked for a king. And then after they got their king, Nachash actually put his plans into action, and he came again against the Jewish people. Or it could be the point is, after Nachash came, they still persisted, and they said, we want the king. V'Hashem Elokeichem Malkechem, but Shmuel says, Hashem, your Elohim, he's your judge, he's your king. So you should not have asked for another king. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is leading the people. But now he hamelech asher bachartem. Behold, here's the king that you chose, asher she'eltem, what you asked for. Very often you ask for something, and then after you get it, you realize it's not as glamorous and it's not as good as you were dreaming. You wanted, and then it came and it's not the way you thought it would be. But this is the king asher bachartem that you chose, asher she'eltem, that you had asked for previously. Or did you ask for the king? And now that you got him, you choose him and you want him as the king. And as you see, this is, you were given the best man. V'hine nosan Hashem aleichem melech. And Hashem has placed the king over you. And the Malbim says, after telling them why they were wrong for asking for a king, he's telling them, but in the end, the truth is the king has both. The king is the king that you asked for and that you chose. On the other hand, Hashem is the one who made him the king. In other words, Hashem made him the king, and the people ratified the decision, and they also wanted the king. Which we've mentioned, the Pasuk actually says, Som Tosi Malecha Melech, Klal Yisrael should make a king over themselves, place a king over yourself, Asher Yivcha Hashem Elokecha Bo, that Hashem chooses. Hashem chooses the king with the Novi, and Klal Yisrael accepts him, and the Sanhedrin ratifies it. You have both. Is Sheol a king from Hashem, or is Sheol a king from the people? He's both. If right now you act properly, it will be as if Hashem chose the king, and everything will be fine. Im tiru es Hashem, if you fear Hashem, vavartem oso, and you serve Hashem, ushmatem bakolo, and you listen to his voice, meaning the voice of the Nevi'im, and as the Nevi'im will convey the message of Hashem, v'lo samru es pi Hashem, and you won't rebel against the words of Hashem. Very often a person can be all enthused, and one day he can feel like a tzaddik, and the next moment a person can feel like a rasha. And that's it's human nature, and a person shouldn't feel bad. One day you don't feel, you're not in the mood to learn, you're not in the mood to daven. That's the nature of things. Sometimes you can be inspired and you can really feel like you want to do the right thing and you feel good about yourself, and other days it doesn't go that way. So in the same pasuk he tells him, if you fear Hashem and you serve him and you listen to the Nevi'im, but at the same time you got to be careful, because there can just be a moment and you can rebel against Hashem. But v'lo samros pi Hashem, if you don't rebel against Hashem, v'yisem gam atem, and you'll also you, and v'gam hamelach asher molach aleichem, and the king who ruled over you, you'll all be achar Hashem elokeichem, after Hashem. Now he doesn't say what happens if indeed you fear Hashem and all that. It doesn't say what happens. Then the pasuk switches to the alternative in pasuk tezvov. But again, some mafarshim connected that v'inei nosan Hashem aleichem melech. Hashem is giving you the king if you act properly. If you act properly, you'll be considered as if this was Hashem's decision. And if not, it's you asking for the king, and it's you acting incorrectly. And it's a big lesson in general in life, that very often a person gets to a crossroads, and he has a major, major decision to make. And if he asks somebody and he discusses, very often there's the right decision, and there's a decision that seems to be wrong. It could be a decision, a guy has a choice of jobs, and in one job he doesn't have a good work environment. In another place, he has people that are moral people, or at least, you know, people that it doesn't damage him. You know, so I had a friend who told me he was working in a place. He said, a friend had on music that wasn't appropriate. You know, they just like to play their stereo while they're working. He says, you know what it's like to sit there for hours and hours and hours and listen to, you know, and it's, you know, even that, if a person... So a person can have a choice of jobs. So sometimes a person doesn't have a choice, but if a person has a choice, a better environment, a worse environment, a person can decide which community or which area to live in, and it can have a major decision, or which person to marry, a major decision. And is the right decision that would hopefully propel him to greater heights, and is the wrong decision. But sometimes even if he makes the wrong decision, a guy can make the wrong decision, but then he can turn around and say, you know, he's talking in a place where he should have done something differently. But once he's there, he becomes the spokesman for Torah. He becomes the one who encourages people to do better. And a guy can take the mistake and still grow and still develop and still accomplish great things. Here, should they ask for a king? Should they not ask for a king? The answer is they shouldn't have asked for a king. But all is not lost. You made a mistake, you asked for a king, but if you conduct yourself properly, it'll be as if Hashem appointed the king. This will be the divine plan, and it'll be successful. And now Barbanel points out, it could be if you fear Hashem and you serve him and you don't rebel, so v'gam ha-melech Hashem v'molech aleichem, you and your king will all be achar Hashem elokeichem. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so unique and so special, Yochid Bo Ilamoy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is separate, so too you and your king will become elevated from the whole world. You will be like right after Hashem. You'll be number two, Gav Yochel. When Vimlos Yishmu B'Kol Hashem, if you don't listen to the voice of Hashem, Umarisim Espi Hashem, and you rebel against the words of Hashem, the hand, meaning the blow, the punishment of Hashem will be bochem against you, uva'avoseichem, and against your fathers. There's a Rashi here that brings down Rabuseinu Amru. What does it mean the hand of Hashem will be against your fathers? Chatutei Shichvi. It's referring to the people who are nifter, the ancestors who are buried, and the graves are dug up, or they're disgraced. V'himakas bizoyan al ha-mesim, and it's a bizoyan to the mason. The reason why, and one reason why you find a strong stress in organizations like Astra Kadisha, people that work with the cemeteries, is because a belief in Tchias HaMesim. So a belief in Tchias HaMesim means the person lives on, and therefore we have to care for the nifter, even if it's thousands of years old. Another point is, it's brought down, it's a danger for the living if the dead are disgraced, because what happens to those who passed on is very often because of our averus. Im lo sishmu b'kol Hashem, if you don't listen to the voice of Hashem, so not only do you suffer, but the graves are desecrated. So if the Yad Hashem is against your fathers because of your averus, it's like instead of them speaking out good on our behalf, instead of being a melitz yosher, the disgrace and whatever is happening to them is because of us, if there are averus. And that's why you have to be very careful. But gamat yisyatzvuru, now you should stand up and see as hadavar hagadol hazeh. I want you to see this great thing. Shmuel is going to cause a miracle. Asher Hashem oiseleinechem. See what Hashem is going to do in front of your eyes, that you'll see. And miracles are not done frivolously, and they're not done just for no reason. It's only done in cases of great necessity. And to call on Hashem to do a miracle, we'll see what the purpose is. Halo ketzir chitim hayom. We're almost at that time of year. Shavuos is when they cut the wheat. And halo ketzir chitim hayom. It's the day of the harvest of the wheat. And it hasn't been raining for a while. The rain stops before Pesach. Ekro al Hashem. I'll call out to Hashem. He doesn't have to. It doesn't say Ashaveya. It doesn't say Ezak. It doesn't use, I'll cry out, I'll importune. I'll call out. V'yitin kolu sumotar. And all of a sudden, it's the day when they're cutting the wheat. Obviously, there was no clouds. You're not going to try to harvest on a day that there's a chance there'll be rain. And certainly those who have in Eretz Yisrael, those will tell you, in the summer, coming from America, it seems like a miracle to imagine for months and months and months there's no rain. But that's the way it is. In Eretz Yisrael, there is no rain in the summer. It doesn't mean once in a while. There's no rain. And on the day that they're planting the harvest, halo ketzir chitim hayom, there certainly was no fear of clouds and a thunderstorm or rain. It was a clear sky. V'yitin kol sumot, and Hashem will give thunder and rain. Ude'u, and you should know. Uru'u, and see. The last pasuk he mentioned to see. Yisyatzvu ru'u. But people can see things, and if they don't have the proper background, they see it and they'll still deny it. The Gemara mentions by Elio, he said, Aneni Hashem, Aneni, to answer me that the fire should come down on Har HaKarmel, and he reiterated, answer me Hashem that the fire should come down, and answer me that they shouldn't think it was Kishif. No, the guy can do the greatest miracle, and the guy will say, it was a miracle, he did black magic. You know, he did Kishif, he did sorcery. Or, I can do the greatest miracle, but you have to have a certain knowledge, a certain Uda'u, you should know, Uru'u, and then see the miracle. Kiro'aschem rabo. That it's a very bad thing, Asher Asisim, that you've done Be'enei Hashem in the eyes of Hashem, Lisholochem Melech, to ask for a king. Or as I'm going to call for it now, the truth is this is very bad also. If you have a field and you've cut the wheat and it rains, it all gets soggy and it starts to rot and you've ruined the whole crop. And Shmuel, who was so worried about the money of Klal Yisrael that he didn't get a penny from them, is going to call out this sign that it's going to cost. It's going to hurt Klal Yisrael if it's going to rain on the day of the harvest. But it's going to be so important for the people to see an open miracle at this closing at this closing point in history that they should have realized that Hashem is their leader and they shouldn't have looked for a monarchy. Ki ra'aschem rabba, it's a very bad thing that you've done in the eyes of Hashem. And again, even though it's very bad, it's in the eyes of Hashem. Because we've discussed in previous prakim, there is a mitzvah in the Torah to make a king. And even if you hold the mitzvah to make a king is only when you ask for one, but at least it's like a reshus, it's like an optional thing. If you ask for a king, you can make a king. But in the eyes of Hashem, it's a terrible thing because of what it represents. In other words, you had an ideal form of government with Hashem giving you a shofet, and you preferred an alternative. Vayikra Shmuel al Hashem. Shmuel called out to Hashem. Vayitein Hashem kolo sumotar vayomahu. And Hashem gave thunder and rain on that day. Vayirachol ha'om me'od. The whole people had a very great fear. Es Hashem of Hashem v'es Shmuel and Shmuel. It had its impact. The Gemara says that the purpose of thunder is lefashed akmumi yoshevalev, to straighten out a crooked heart. Guy's got a crooked heart, a bolt of thunder can make things straight. And he realized the frailty of people, and he realizes the force, and he's just awestruck by the power that is shown. That's what happened here. The thunder and the rain, the people had a tremendous fear. They realized this is a direct message from Hashem. Why didn't he do this earlier? The first time they came for a king, he should have done this, and they would have changed their mind. So I saw that the Das Sofer mentions that they couldn't have had a leader better than Shmuel. And if at the high point of Klal Yisrael, with a leader like Shmuel, the people thought of asking for a king, even if he would do a miracle, and the people would fear Shmuel, and they would take back their request, what would happen in 5 years, in 20 years, in 50 years? It's not going to be better than under Shmuel. And if the people asked for a king under Shmuel, doing a sign and giving them a momentary fear wouldn't last. They asked for a king. If they asked for a king now, they're going to have a king. And it is permitted. He gave them a king. But now he wanted them to know, the final point when they're getting the king, that it was a mistake. Vayomru cholam el Shmuel, and the whole people said to Shmuel, Hispalol b'aravadecha. Pray for your servants, El Hashem Elokecha, to Hashem your God. They realized Hashem has a certain closeness with Hashem, and they acted wrong. But pray to your Hashem, V'al Nomus, we shouldn't die. Ki yosafnu akol chatoseinu ra, on all the averus that we had in the past, all of the chatos, we've added on this evil, Lishalonu Melch, to ask for a king. And if a guy has Yirah Shemayim, and if a guy has a fear, you don't try to discourage it. But here it wasn't a fear of the greatness of Hashem. They were afraid of dying. It was a Yiras Ha'inish. They were afraid of dying. So Vayomer Shmuel, Shmuel said to the people, Al Tiro, don't be afraid. If you're afraid of dying, that kind of a fear, it paralyzes. It shouldn't be a Yiras Ha'inish. Don't be afraid. Atem Asisam is kol Haroa Hazos. You've done this whole Ro'a. Ach Al Tasurim Yachre Hashem. Just make sure, don't turn away from after Hashem. Vavadetem es Hashem b'chol levavchem, and serve Hashem with your whole heart. V'lo tasuru, and don't turn aside. Ki acharei hatohu, because the alternative is nothing. It's nothing. Tohu, emptiness. Asher lo yo'ilu, it won't have any benefit. Don't think like, you're serving Hashem and you're not doing the other beneficial alternatives. No, it won't help. Below Yatzilin, it won't save you. Kiso Hema, it's nothing. And that's the complete tshuva, like we say when we say vidui. Sarnu mitzvasecha mishpatecha atovim velo shavolanu. We realize we turned away velo shavolanu, and it wasn't worth it. It was worthless. That's the total recognition that you got to serve Hashem, and there is no, you don't gain from otherwise. Kilo yitosh Hashem esamo, and you don't have to be afraid, because Hashem won't abandon His people. Bavur shmo hagadol, and even if you don't deserve it, because of Hashem's great name, we are the people of Hashem. So whether we deserve it or not, Hashem protects us. Ki hoil Hashem, Hashem either wanted or Hashem swore, lasus eschem lo la'om. Hashem said you're going to be His people. Gam Anochi. And as far as me, you asked me to daven, Chalilali, it would be a profanity, it would be like totally mundane, totally a low type of behavior. Forbid it. Mechatul Hashem. I wouldn't sin Mechadol Hispal Ba'adchem and not pray for you. If you ask, if somebody asks for mechila and you don't give him the mechila, that's a sin. And if somebody else is suffering and you can help and you can daven, it's an aveir if you don't, the Gemara says. In Brochus, Yud Beis. Chalili, woe that I shouldn't sin to Hashem by not davening. If I don't daven for you, that would be an aveira. V'horesi Eschem, but I'll teach you, b'derech ha-tova v'yishora, the good path and the straight one. Ach yiruas Hashem, but fear Hashem, v'avadatem oso, and serve Him be'emes and truth, b'chol avavchem, with your whole heart. Because all of my prayers aren't going to help if you do the wrong thing. I'll daven for you, but you got to make sure to do the right thing. Ki re'u and see es asher higdol imochem, what great things Hashem has done for you, with you. V'im horeya tareyu, but if you do bad, gam atem gam malkechem tisafu, you with your king will die, he tells them. And we know that Shaul in the end was killed. But Klai Shaul is now told, that's it, this is the final speech of Shmuel. Shaul is the leader of the people, and it's up to them to make the most of it. Firstly, the shir is Le'ili Nishmas Chana Bas Yosef Aryeh Zev. That was my Shver's mother, who lived well into her 90s. And she persevered through a lot of difficulties in Baruch Hashem, such a long life, with her love for Hashem and Klal Yisrael and Torah.
For sponsorship opportunities, please call 718-436-3024. Thank you.